I am so glad that we can open the Word of God together this morning. And so if you would be turning to Romans chapter 16, we are finishing up the book of Romans today. We've had a great study in Romans, and I know that it has blessed my heart, and I trust and believe it has you as well. I hope that you'll just want to go back there again and again and again to glean those truths that we have in the book of Romans. Great book of Scripture, and starts out in chapter 1 where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, and talks about justification by faith and the confidence we have in Christ, and talks about the church. And I think it's fitting that Paul ends in chapter 16, and again, you know, somebody was telling me today, I think it was Brother Bill Dudley, that he's praying for me. I may need a designated reader for some of these names, but you know what? These names are people, and this is a story about people who are connected. And that's really what it means to be a part of a church, to be part of the body of Christ, is to be connected by our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so don't miss that as we talk about that today. Just a couple things I want to mention, and I should have done this during announcements, it slipped my mind, but I want to say it now while it's on my mind before we read and pray, is please do keep praying for Upward basketball and cheerleading. I know that we have some prayer warriors in here. And you guys that can't make it on Monday and Tuesday nights, you're a vital part of that ministry. We're off and running. We're off to a great start. A lot of kids, good participation among parents. There's a lot of new coaches this year. Pray for those new coaches that are kind of finding their way. Some of you in here are new coaches this year. But anyway, that's a great ministry. The season itself will start on the 26th, in less than 2 weeks, on Saturday the 26th, 13 days. And so that's an exciting ministry. Also, the cards that are in the bulletin, those commitment cards. You can take that home with you today if you want. Again, that piggybacks off last week's sermon. We talked about who's your one, but we also talked about getting debt-free in less than 3. That's what we want to do. Less than 3 years, we want to pay off that debt on that Family Life Center, and we want to do it so we won't be paying a bank. We'll be freed up to use that money for ministry or for the enhancement of our church or how God leads us at that time, but we want to be debt-free in less than 3. So that's a commitment card for you to take home, and you pray about how God might lead you to be a part of that campaign. But let's get back to chapter 16. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to kind of read a few highlights here as we talk about God's amazing grace one final time and talk about being connected. Being connected. Paul writes, I commend you to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. So you should welcome her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever matter she may require your help. For indeed, she has been a benefactor of many and of me also. Let's skip down to verse 21. This is the people that are with Paul, and he's sending greetings from them to the church. Timothy, my co-worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius. Tertius is the guy writing the letter. He's the stenographer, the transcriber for Paul. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then the last couple of verses, we got to read these and talk about them. Now to him who has the power, who has power to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God, to advance the obedience of faith among all nations to the only wise God through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Father, I thank you for this reading of the Word of God. I'm thankful for this letter that you inspired Paul to write to the church at Rome, and by your inspiration and by the Holy Spirit to each of us that followed centuries later. Thank you for the reminders you've given us. Thank you for the hope and the strength you've given us. And Lord, I pray that this has been a study that has brought transformation in lives and hearts. And I trust that it has. As we close out today, Lord, Help us to have a good sense of what it means to be connected. Connected. Not just loosely affiliated with the church, but to be connected. Because these people that Paul writes of, while we may not know much about them personally, we know that they were connected. And we want to be connected for your glory today. So help us, Lord. And I pray that you would give me the strength and the power to preach, which only comes through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Of all the lines that Spencer Plumlee shared during the 2 days, and somebody said it was like trying to drink through a fire hose. He was rapid fire and brought a lot of wisdom and truth in our men's retreat. The one that really resonates with me and it still sticks with me right now is he made a comment about church. He said, church is not something that you go to. It's not something that you attend. Church is something that you live. Isn't that interesting? Church is something that you live. Now, some people get that today in this room. Others may not really totally understand that. And while it's true that we meet from week to week, and this time of corporate worship is very, very vitally important, it's just scratching the surface of what we do and who we are as the church. You see, the church is about being connected. And it saddens me very much, the culture that we live in today. I have a book in my study that I purchased a few years ago, and it says, "They love Jesus, but not the church." That really makes me sad as a pastor. But it's true. More and more people that I meet and that I know of today have this attitude. They're okay with Jesus. They may even want a relationship with Jesus, but they don't want anything to do with the church. Isn't that sad? Because the church is called the bride of Christ. Christ gave his life for the church. Christ said, upon this rock, the church, I will build my kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so it's sad that attitudes are so laissez-faire towards the church. Paul would hate that. Paul would be speaking against that today. Paul would be doing whatever he could to make sure that people understood how necessary church is in your life. And again, it's not just about coming to the worship service, but getting invested in the lives of other people. Letting other people speak into your life. And I think about my own life. Somebody shared this as an illustration, and I want you to think about it right now before we get into the message. Think about in the movies. I don't know if you go to the movies very often, but all of us know this. What happens at the end of a motion picture? When you get to the end of the movie, what happens? The credits roll. Everybody knows the credits. And a lot of times we don't stop and even look at the credits. We just hurry on out of the theater. But those credits are what? They represent names of people. And not only are they the actors and actresses that are stars and co-stars, but you get people that are also the grip and the key grip. What is that? I still don't know what that is, but that's a role that somebody has to play in the production of this movie. You have the producers and the directors who have a vital role. But you also have the makeup people who have a vital role. You have stunt people. Nobody really knows who they are because they're doubling for somebody who is the main actor in the film or actress. But you have all kinds of people who come together to make that film work. To make it work for you who are viewing it. And all kinds of people need to come together to make the church work. And you know what? I think about my own life, and I have been invested in the church. I was invested in the church before I could even make that decision. 9 months before I was here, I was invested in the church. I was in my mama's belly at the piano. But I know that God has brought people into my life. And I think back to people in my youth group. Before that, I think back to people who led me when I was a child. I was in RAs as a kid, in Sunday school, and teachers who loved me. You know, I got to do a funeral not too long ago for a man that was my Sunday school teacher, Larry Alexander, when I was in grade school. And you know what? Larry was more than just a teacher on Sunday morning. Larry had us over to his farm. We fished in his pond. We were there for hay rides. He loved us. He modeled for us. He was also my PE teacher in my gym class. And I had a model of someone who was a godly man, not a perfect man, but a godly man who loved Jesus. God put people like that in my life as a teenager, older youth that I looked up to. God put people in my life like that in college. My roommate was a godly example for me. It wasn't by accident. We went to church together. All through my life, I've had brothers and sisters who have been part of my life, and I'm richer for it because I've been part of the church. And not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the life of the church. And so that's what Paul is getting at here. Paul is talking about how we need to be connected. And there's some benefits to being connected. Now again, some of you may not be convinced right now. You may be, well, why does that really hold anything for me? First of all, the first step to being connected, guys, is getting in a life group. Getting in a life group. I hope that you will really consider doing that. Being involved in some kind of a small group where you're doing things together. You're studying the Word together. But you're doing more than just studying the Word. There's output. You're living life together. You've got a friend or maybe two or three friends that are praying for you during the week. You're calling them up on the phone. You're going out and doing things together. Hopefully our life groups are planning ways we can serve together. We've got to serve this community. We've got to serve one another. Hopefully you're thinking about missionaries you can be praying for and other things you can be doing. But you're growing together. Maybe you're holding each other accountable. But you're growing together. And so Paul is talking about different people here. I don't know if this is right or not. I counted it on my own. I came up with 26 individuals that are mentioned. That's not a normal greeting. That's why I think Paul has a motive in writing this long greeting in chapter 16. 26 individuals, two families, and at least three house churches are represented here as he gives these greetings. And by the way, Paul has never been to Rome. Some of these folks he's never met before. But he understands the importance of being connected. Being connected. And so we're going to talk about what the benefits are of being connected. There's three things I see that Paul wants the church to see about being connected. And so that's going to get us into our outline here. Here's number one. Paul wants the church to see the power of being connected. I'm going to tell you why I say that in just a moment. We're going to look at some of these names, and I'm going to try to tell you some of the stories behind the names. But the power behind being connected. There is power in the name of Jesus. I think everybody would say amen to that in a heartbeat in here. But there is power individually in the name of Jesus. There is power corporately in the name of Jesus. You know, all of us are individual. We're all unique as Christians. I think Vance Havner is one that said this originally. But he said Christians are kind of like snowflakes. They seem weak and insignificant by themselves, but put them all together and you can literally stop traffic. And we saw that play out Friday night. But there is power corporately. There's power when we come together in the name of Jesus. The trick is we got to get together. We got to get connected. We got to get over our differences or our hang-ups or our prejudices. And we've got to really trust the system and trust one another and plug in. Reminds me of a story from the old Peanuts comic strip. Remember the Peanuts comic strip, and you remember Linus and Lucy, brother and sister. Lucy was just a bully. She was just a flat-out bully. She was a bully to Charlie Brown. She was a bully to her brother. And you remember there's one scene, one comic I remember where Linus is just as content as can be. He's watching a television program, his favorite show, I'd imagine. And Lucy comes in and says, "Change that channel. I want to watch this." And Linus has a little bit of courage, not a whole lot, but a little bit. And he says, "Why should I listen to you and change the channel?" She says, "I'll give you five reasons right here." And she makes a fist. And so he weakly goes along with what she says and changes the channel. And he's sitting there pondering that as she watches her favorite TV program. He's looking at his hand, kind of comparing it to hers and looking at things. And he says to his five fingers, "Why can't you guys get together like that?" You know what? I think God is saying to us today as a church, not necessarily with the same motive as Linus, but with sadness in his heart. Why can't you guys get together like that? Why can't you guys get together? What could we do? There would be power in the name of Jesus if we'd get together and invest our lives in one another for the cause of Christ and the glory of God. All right, let's look at some of these names here. First thing I want to see, before I get into the names, I want you to see the people you meet at church. What kind of people are you going to meet at church? Well, there's all different kinds of people. But I want you to see that the people you meet at church are beautifully diverse. They are beautifully diverse. What I mean by that is they may not be like you, and it might not be somebody that you ever would have developed a relationship with outside of church. But there's beauty in that. See that as a strength. It's good to have different kinds of people in your life that are united together by a common faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of these names here. I'll do my best to pronounce them right. If I don't, it's okay. You won't know the difference. I'm teasing you, okay? Some of you probably do know the difference. Number three, verse three. Give my greeting to Prisca, or that could be Priscilla in some of your translations, and Aquila. Now, there's a couple names that we're familiar with. Remember, they were tent makers. We read about them in the book of Acts, and they were dear, dear friends of Paul. In fact, he says, they're my co-workers in Jesus Christ. Their names are kind of interesting. Priscilla, you know what that name means? It means wise woman. A wise woman. And Aquila, man, he's got a stately name. His name means eagle. I like that. We don't name any of our kids Aquila these days, but that's a cool name. Eagle. And he says, they're my co-workers in Christ Jesus. Look at this, verse 4. Who risked their own necks for my life. Don't you wish you knew the rest of the story on that? I don't know exactly how they did that. I know that they took Paul in Corinth. You see, they were at the church in Corinth. And now they've moved on to Rome. They're living in Rome. Some of our brothers and sisters have moved away from Hillcrest, and they're in other places. You know what? They're still our brothers and sisters. That bond never goes away. There's some churches I pastored, and I've been away from there now for 10, 12, 13, or 14 years. And if I'll run into somebody from one of those churches, it's just like we want to catch track. We hug each other. You know what? There's a bond there. There's a special bond. And so he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, who risked their necks for my life. Not only do I thank them, notice this, but so do all the Gentile churches. Think of all the people that Priscilla and Aquila influenced just because they were brave and bold in their witness. Greet also the church that meets in their home. Apparently they've got a home church right now in Rome. Next in verse 5, greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. His name means praiseworthy. Isn't that cool? The first convert from Asia. So there you already have a blended church. You have people coming from different backgrounds and different places. Diversity in the church. Greet Mary. Don't know who that was. Don't know anything about her. She was an unknown worker in the church who worked very hard for you. And then this apparently is a couple, a married couple. Although there's some debate about that. Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junia. But notice this, they're my fellow countrymen. That means they're Paul's relatives. They're Jewish. And fellow prisoners. Scholars say they probably were an older couple who were related to Paul. Probably were in prison with Paul at some point in time. Probably were saved before Paul was saved. In fact, he talks about that. He says they are noteworthy in the eyes of the apostles, and they were also in Christ before me. Isn't it good to have spiritual mothers and fathers? I've got some, and I know you do too. Some of them have gone on to be with the Lord. Verse 8, greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. You know what that name means? It means amplified or enlarged. But now don't think he was a man who had an enlarged ego, because it was a very common name in that time. A lot of slaves were named Ampliatus. Very likely this man was a slave. You think about this church at Rome, there were rich people and well-to-do people and poor people in that church. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. People from all different walks of life, male and female. He's greeting them here. Phoebe, I read earlier, Phoebe is coming to deliver the letter to the church at Rome. And so he's telling them to greet her and welcome her. And so it's interesting, all these different names. Urbanus and Stachys, those also were more than likely slave names, different individuals. Apelles in verse 10 means approved one. And then greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Isn't it good that this Aristobulus was leading his household to come to church and to come to know Christ? Isn't that great? Greet the household of Aristobulus. Then there's greet Herodian. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. My fellow countrymen. Well, that's true. The fact that he was Herodian meant that he was a Jew. But think about this. the people that were from the tribe or from the line or the Herodians hated the Pharisees for political reasons. So what was Paul before he was saved? Who was Saul? He was a Pharisee. That'd be like a Democrat and a Republican in the same room. And they're getting along. He says, my beloved countrymen, you don't have to vote the same way or think the same way politically to be one in Christ and together, because it's our faith that unites us together. Isn't that cool? Look a little farther down. Greet those who belong to the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Now, I don't know if you know that name or not, but you probably do, because the Greek mythology, Narcissus was the one who saw his image in a mirror and fell in love with himself and just couldn't stop looking at himself. Yes, that's where we get the term narcissistic today. You know what that's a story about? Life change. This guy who was a narcissist is no longer a narcissist. He's now a servant of Jesus Christ. There's people in the church whose lives have been turned around by the glory of God. The next one kind of cracks me up. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. That means dainty and delicate. Twins. These are little young twins, young girls, but they work hard in the Lord. Doesn't Paul say to Timothy, don't let people despise your youth? You may be a young person. You may not be established yet. You still have a role to play in the church. You can work hard in this church, and we need you. We need you to come alongside and fill the role of the church. A little farther down, I don't want to go too long on this. Persis is probably a derivative of Persia. So that's probably a lady who had come from Persia. Here's another lady from another culture, from another place, who's now a believer in Jesus Christ. Look at the next name, Rufus. That name may not mean much to you. I knew a pastor named Rufus one time, but I don't see that name a whole lot. But this is a really cool part of this greeting. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Now, why that's cool is because of the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 21, Mark tells the story that all of you have heard. There was a man who was there at the crucifixion named Simon of Cyrene. And Simon was pressed into service by the Roman soldiers. You remember that? They made him do what? Carry the cross of Christ. Now, all the Gospels talk about that, but Mark adds something different. Mark says that these two men, Alexander and Rufus, were of the household of Simon the Cyrene. So these are his sons. And apparently his two sons became believers and followers of Christ. And most people believe, scholars, that Rufus here is Simon of Cyrene's son. So they've got a celebrity there. I don't know if we have any celebrities here at Hillcrest or not. I guess Keith Reether would be about the closest celebrity. No, I'm kidding. But he is kind of a celebrity around here. But anyway, Rufus was a celebrity. But notice this. He goes on to say, also his mother and mine. And mine. Rufus's mother, Simon of Cyrene's wife, was a spiritual mom to Paul. Some of y'all are spiritual moms to some of us. I love spiritual moms that have that gift of mercy, and they take care of their spiritual children. He was very, very close to this family, Rufus. And by the way, Alexander, the other brother, a lot of Christian history teaches that Alexander was one of the first martyrs in the church. Alexander. So it's amazing the different people in this church. Then you got a gang of guys. I won't try to butcher their names, but I like this. A gang of believers in verse 14. That just reminds me of this, that a lot of times somebody will get saved, and what will they do? They'll want to tell their friend about Jesus. Before you know it, they've got their friend coming to church, and maybe another friend, maybe a family member. And before you know it, you've got a gang of believers, people who have been saved, and then they've gone and told others. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our Hoosier One that we're working on this year. You don't have to go out and do a cold call on a door if you don't feel like you're ready to do that. Hoosier One. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ now, can you bring one more person to this church? If you'll do that, before you know it, we may have a gang of believers over in your pew. I think that's what Paul is referring to here. These guys that are now believers together and the brothers who are with them. So there's more coming in. Then you've got another couple here, Philologus and Julia, Nurus and his sister. Can a brother and a sister get along in a church together and go to church together? An adult brother and sister? Absolutely. and Olympus. Here's another Greek name. Here's a guy, you know Olympus, he's abandoned mythology and is following the real and one true Savior now. So he says, greet them all. It's amazing to me that Paul can call them all by name. He must have had a photographic memory. But more than that, they had a relationship together. So what I'm trying to say as I get through here, the people you meet at church are beautifully diverse, but they're also, they all have a story to tell. While we may not know every story, and we don't know every story in here, listen, I will say this. The people you meet at church, every one of them, They have grace-filled stories to tell. I hope you'll listen to stories. I hope you're willing to share your story. There's people here that may need to hear your story. In fact, God may have us together right now so that somebody can hear your story of how you came to faith in Christ. Not only that, but the people at church you meet have vital roles to play. They have vital roles to play. Every person in this church has a vital role to play. Your ministry may be a ministry of prayer. You know what? That's an awesome ministry. Guy and I were talking about that today. We have two kinds of prayers to God that we pray. That we have petitions where we pray and give our needs, present our needs to God. And we always need to do that. There's never a time we don't have a need in our lives. You never arrive. Give us this day our daily bread. But we also get to have supplication. We get to pray on behalf of other people. And that may be your role right now, but that's powerful. The prayers of people who are saints are powerful and effective. And your prayers can make a difference in the life of somebody. But you know something else that you can provide? The church needs support and accountability. That's why we need to come to church. You know, I could watch church on TV or on my phone. I could stream it somewhere, and I could listen to a better preacher than I can preach. But you know what? You wouldn't get support and accountability in a place like that or a setting like that. And the Bible says we're to receive both. Now, here's what I've found. This is the trick for us as the church. Most churches are strong at either one or the other. They're good at giving support, loving on people. And that's good. We need to do that. But they're weak in the accountability end. There's other churches that are strong on the accountability end, but weak on the love part. That's a legalistic church that's made up of all these do's and don'ts. But I want you to listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 6. Listen to what it says here. You see both support and accountability in the church. Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves, so you also won't be tempted. You see what's going on right there? That's accountability. That's loving somebody enough to help them when they're wrong or when they've gone astray. That's exhortation right there. We've got some exhorters in this church, and I'm thankful for them. But to do it with a gentle spirit. Then look at verse 2. Carry one another's burdens. In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. There's the support. Carry one another's burdens. Man, I'll tell you what, when church is done right, you get both of those things going on. And every one of us have a vital role to play. Do you know every one of us, we have a unique contribution to the church. We have been shaped by God to serve in a way that only we can serve. And that's what we're kind of getting at here in these greetings. Paul wants us to see the power of being connected. But as we look at verses 17 through 20, there's something else I've got to mention. Paul wants the church to see the pitfalls of being connected. You see, there are some pitfalls, and we know that's true. We've got to talk about that. And in verse 17, Paul talks about the pitfalls. He says, "Now I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause dissensions and obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. Avoid them, for such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting with smooth talk and with flattering words." You see, sometimes in a gathering in the church, there can be people, and they may not even intentionally mean to do that, but they can cause harm in the church. And so I think what we need to do is we need to be wise about that. According to Paul's words, we also need to be discerning. I don't ever want to be a part of the problem. And so I need to be willing to do a heart check and to check my own heart, my own motives, and my own weaknesses. There again, that support and that accountability is coming through. And I want to be true to the church. I don't ever want to cause a brother or a sister to stumble in the church. Because listen, things can unravel easily. Man, I tell you what, I am so thankful for the good unity we've had here. We've enjoyed it for several years now. But folks, it can unravel quickly and easily. And one or two people can destroy the unity of a church. And Paul's just warning about that. And so he's just saying sometimes those who are connected will cause division. They'll cause division. They might do it through gossiping or through a divisive spirit. Man, I'll tell you what, gossiping is so difficult, something you need to avoid. I heard a story one time about a pastor. There was a lady in his church, and she'd been gossiping, and it got back to him, and he just needed to talk to her about it. So he called her into his office one day, and he said, "Maxine, you know that I love you, and you know that I want you here in our church, but I've got to tell you, you're always circulating gossip and rumors, and it's hurting the church." Well, immediately, Maxine began to defend herself. She said, "Pastor, I don't know why people feel like they can talk to me and bring things to me. They just have concerns, and they come to me and they share them." Well, that pastor was really wise, and he said, "Maxine, every Monday morning, the trash service comes to my house and they pick up my garbage that I leave out on the curb and they haul it off. The garbage man accepts my garbage and takes it away. You know what you need to do, Maxine? When somebody comes to you with that information, you just need to say, 'No dumping. No dumping. Not here, not with me.' We don't need to be a part of the problem." And that's what Paul is saying. Separate yourself from that. Not only that, but sometimes those who are connected will create obstacles. They'll literally create pitfalls or things because their agenda's not right. Their heart's not right. That's why we need that support and accountability. Sometimes those who are connected are just flat out deceptive. They're not really who they claim to be. And that shouldn't surprise us. Do you know Jesus told a parable about that in Matthew chapter 13? He told the parable of the wheat and the tares. He said, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, the enemy came and they sowed seeds among the wheat and they left." And so the disciples later, or the people who worked in the harvest, they said, "Well, what should we do? Should we try to pull up the tares?" And he said not to do that. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 30. He said, "Let both grow together until the harvest. At harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and tie them in bundles to burn them, but store the wheat in my barn.'" So what we need to understand is we need to protect the unity of the church. That's a very important role you can play. Protect the unity. Don't cause divisions. Don't create obstacles. And don't be deceptive. Just be who you are. Hopefully, we can love people for who they are in this church. I think we can, and I think we are. Paul wants us to understand the pitfalls of being connected. But finally, Paul wants us to understand the purpose of being connected. This is the purpose of being connected. It's found in this last doxology, verses 25 to 27. The purpose for our connectedness is simple. It's for God's glory. God brings us together as a body. God unites us together. God brings different skilled people, different gifted people, people from different backgrounds, together for His glory. That's what he says in verses 25 through 27. Paul is just simply overwhelmed by the end of this letter. All he can do is give praise and honor to God. Look at it there. It's up on the screen. "Now to Him who has the power to strengthen you according to the gospel." That's what I love about it. We need to bring glory to God because of what He's done in our lives. He has the power to strengthen us. We may feel weak. We may feel like we don't have it all together. Join the club. We're all broken people. None of us are there yet, nor are we going to get there yet. But I have a God who is able. I have a God who is strong. And I have a God who holds me in His hand, and He won't leave me or forsake me. And so that's what He's doing. He's celebrating that fact. We need to celebrate that as a church. When we do that, by investing in the lives of others and giving testimony to that, we bring glory to God. Not only do we bring glory to God for what He has done in our lives personally, but as we get a little farther down in the doxology, we bring glory to God to fulfill His plan for the nations. Paul concludes with missions. Look at verse 26. He's talking about this mystery that's kept silent for long ages. And that's the fact that Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament and revealed in the Gospels in the New Testament. So it's not a mystery any longer. It's been revealed, verse 26, and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God, to advance the obedience of faith. That just reminds me that Paul says in Acts 17, God is now calling men everywhere to repent. Everywhere. And he goes on to say, among the nations. All the nations. We have the great privilege of making this great hope and glorifying this great God before all the nations. And one day, in heaven, all nations will glorify this great God together. So we bring glory to God to fulfill His plan for the nations. And then, lastly, we bring glory to God for His eternal wisdom and His power and His might. These are the last words in the last verse of Romans chapter 16. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory forever. He is the glorious one who we will glorify forever. So there's power in being connected. So here's how I want to finish this time together today in this message. There's a lot in Romans. Obviously, we need to talk about love. We need to love one another. We need to strive for genuine Christian communion. Obviously, there's prayer in here. We need to be fervent in prayer. We need to be prayer warriors. Obviously, there's an attitude of praise and confidence. We need to be confident in our Savior. Give Him adoration and praise. But the best way for you to do that is to be connected. And so I want to ask you today, are you connected? Are you connected to this body or somebody somewhere? Because if you're not, you're not being all that God would want you to be. You're not where you need to be in your life. God wants to do more through you. He wants to stretch you in ways you couldn't imagine. He wants to use you to bless us. We need you to get connected. We need these five fingers to get together. Will you do it? Will you pray about it? Will this be the year where you get connected for the glory of God? Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I thank You so much again for the hope that we have in the Word of God. And while I haven't really preached specifically on this topic today, the book of Romans is textbook in this, that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If we will confess with our mouth, Paul says in Romans 10, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that is not saved, that they would have a hunger. They would be drawn. Holy Spirit, speak into their lives more loudly and eloquently than I ever can right now, that they can know Christ. He offers a free gift of salvation. We have to turn away from our sin and ourselves and trust Him only. He's sufficient. He's able to save us. Oh Lord, if there's someone that needs that, I pray that they would do that. That's a work of Your Spirit. Lord, I also want to pray for those who are saved, which is probably the majority of this room today. And those that are saved already, Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would be speaking to them about how connected they are. And being connected is not about legalism. I'm not preaching about being here every time the doors are open. That's impossible even for the preacher, as busy as this church is. I'm talking about getting connected and invested in the lives of others. Like Brother Spencer said yesterday, church is not about going to something. It's not about watching something or passively viewing something. Church is about doing life together, living together with other believers in community, worshiping together, serving together, praying together, growing together, doing missions together. God, that's the vision of what we want in this church. We want more believers to come alongside and do life together so we would grow and we would give a testimony of Your glory. Just like these names that we've learned a little bit about today in chapter 16, we want to be a group of people who have stories to tell and who are obviously being used by You and seeing Your work in our lives. Help us to do that for Your glory, Lord. And I pray that Your will would be done in this invitation for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.